Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. Several days removed from the 2016 NFL Draft, an event in which the Vikings selected eight players and generated a lot of excitement for the team and for the fan base, and we're going to dig into it right now by going through and analyzing each of the Vikings' eight picks. We're going to use some sound from Rick Spielman's interview with us right here in Vikings Entertainment Network Studios. Nate and I will offer some more information and opinion, and then we're going to move on to some more stuff that we have in the show, which includes some noteworthy undrafted free agent signings, why I like what the Vikings did in the third round, and then we'll end the show with some of your mail. So let's get right to it. Let's get to the Vikings' first round pick, which happened on Thursday night. The Vikings selected Ole Miss wide receiver Laquon Treadwell with the 23rd overall pick. Here's what the Vikings GM had to say about Mr. Treadwell.
We were very excited about it. We spent a lot of time with him through this draft process, starting at the combine. Had him up here at our top 30. I also went down there and spent time with him down at the Ole Miss and at his pro day. So brings us a big physical receiver that has a large catching radius. He was, when you watch his 14 tape, and I went back and we went back and watched it as a group, we felt by far he was the top receiver coming out this year. Had that devastating injury in the Auburn game. Was a little slow to start out in the beginning of the season, but the more he got confident on that knee, or on his leg, you see in the old Laquon Treadwell towards the end of the year.
You know, Coach Zimmer has mentioned a lot about his ability to run block, and you mentioned coming back from an injury and still playing well. Do you think that speaks to a player's toughness?
I think it just tells you what type of competitor he is. Nothing's going to put this kid down, and even he is the most complete receiver with the ball not in his hand. And I know the most important thing is catching the ball and making plays in the passing game, which we feel there's no question he's going to be able to do for us. But also you try to look at these players and how many of them are competitive without the ball in their hand. And there's no question about what he does on plays that maybe he's not involved in.
Including as a run blocker, as you and Coach Zimmer have mentioned. When you have Adrian Peterson, I suppose it's important to be a good
Yeah, Adrian texted me and was very excited about it.
But that's good.
That's one of the points I'm making is that he'll do the dirty work. He's not afraid to block. He's very competitive. And is an extremely talented receiver, which is the most important part.
Okay, Nate, we went over a ton of names and positions in the pre-draft process right here on the Wobcast. Laquon Treadwell was a name we mentioned quite a bit. He was always tied to the Vikings in mock drafts, and when all was said and done, we liked a lot of things about a lot of different receivers. We talked about Will Fuller a bunch, which he was off the board when the Vikings were on the clock because the Houston Texans traded up to take him. But Laquon Treadwell was a guy we talked about a lot as well. He was my favorite receiver in the class. I grouped him right up there with Will Fuller and Corey Coleman and Josh Doctson. Big bodied at 6'2", 221 pounds, and physical. And the detractors of this pick always point to what about Laquon Treadwell?
His speed, or lack thereof.
The slow 40 time. Ran a 4.6 or 4.6 something 40. Which, as Nate and I have said, if we ran 4.6 40s, we'd be very pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to rip Laquon for that. I will say though, I saw an ESPN Sports Science bit, and Laquon had the fastest 10-yard split of any of the receivers. So
take that.
Yeah, gaining separation might not be a problem. Slow 40 time, I guess. We like the 10-yard split. The one thing though is speed. No matter who you are, will eventually leave you. And some of the traits that Laquon Treadwell has where he excels, those do not leave you. Toughness, good route running, a team-first mentality. Those are traits that Laquon has in spades. Those will never leave him. Speed will leave you no matter who you are. And so I like that. Laquon had a pretty nasty leg injury in college. He came back from that to have a great season in 2015. He's billed as one of the best run blockers in this draft. Of course, you don't take wide receivers because they're good run blockers. But when a receiver is a good run blocker, what does that tell you? It tells you he uses good technique. It tells you he's a tough player who's not afraid to mix it up. It tells you that he is a selfless player who puts the team first. That's what Laquon Treadwell brings, and that's why we love Laquon at pick 23.
So if we learned anything with a Laquon Treadwell pick, it's to always believe mock drafts.
Yes. That would turn out to be true, which is a scary thing. Speaking of that, I read a 2017 mock draft yesterday.
Hey, wasting no time.
Yeah, I did. We took a defensive tackle from Michigan whom I've never heard of.
At pick 32?
Yeah. Yeah, it was at pick 23. They used odds to win the Super Bowl as the draft order. So they had us at 23, which...
it's another playoff run.
Which means we made the playoffs again, and we took a defensive tackle I've never heard of. But I'm guessing that...
it's probably really good, though.
Right. Well, and I'm guessing...
We were lucky he fell to us.
51 weeks from now, I will be an expert on that player I don't know at all right now, and I will be saying I can't believe he was still there. Anyway, we digress. Let's go on to pick number two for the Vikings. It was the 54th overall pick in round two, cornerback Mackenzie Alexander.
We're very excited that he was there. Feel that he fits all the boxes that we're trying to check off on football players, and there's no question about his ability, especially in man coverage when you watch him. I know he maybe didn't have the interception production, but when you look at his tape, the one thing he does, and I know Coach Zimmer emphasizes, does your man catch the ball? And he is very good at not letting his man catch the ball, whether he's in tight coverage and they don't throw it to him, or when he does have the opportunity to make plays and batting the balls away, he is excellent at that. He has ability to play inside as a potential nick and also outside. He gives us another young corner to develop, and love the passion and attitude and the savvy that he plays with.
Nate, you're familiar with the website Pro Football Focus, correct?
I am.
Okay, me too. Those guys put a ton of work into what they do. They analyze tape, and they put together metrics and opinions. And they're not right all the time, but they always put in a ton of effort, and I respect their work, whether I agree with them or not on a particular topic. I got some PFF love for Mackenzie Alexander. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Fourth-ranked cornerback in this class. 33% of the passes thrown to receivers guarded by Mackenzie Alexander were completed. That is number one in the country for all cornerbacks. So we love that. Never allowed more than four receptions in a game to a receiver in 2015.
Wow.
And has not allowed a touchdown pass to someone he's guarding in 21 games.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Yeah, we'll take that.
So Pro Football Focus liked him. Aside from that, I think, Nate, this pick shows Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer anticipating team needs. I mean, right now you have the Vikings' top three corners returning from last year, Xavier Rhodes, Captain Munnerlin, and Terrence Newman. You also have a first-round pick from last year returning in Trey Waynes. Yet the Vikings use their second pick of this draft on a cornerback. Not a need per se right now, but the team is anticipating that it could become a need because Captain Munnerlin is in the final year of his contract. Terrence Newman is going to turn 38 in September. And so if one or both of those guys are not back next year in 2017, those are big holes to fill. You have Trey Waynes who can do it, and now you have another one, Mackenzie Alexander, who can do it. And that's presuming Mackenzie Alexander does not shoot up the depth chart this year, which he could. He could play this year too. But definitely the Vikings anticipating a potential need in 2017 with this pick of Mackenzie Alexander. And did you see the ESPN story on him?
I did. That was a great piece.
So you love the backstory.
I do. Who doesn't?
Right.
I remember hearing him talk at the Combine.
Oh, yeah.
One of our producers just fell in love with him right there. Mm-hmm. Just how intense he was just at a press conference.
Yeah.
When so many other guys are just zoned out from being tired from the process, which I wouldn't blame him for.
Right. You can find that press conference that Nate was referencing right now on Vikings.com. It's Mackenzie Alexander's Combine press conference. I encourage you to watch the whole thing, but if you want to LOL, go to the 7-minute mark of that press conference. I promise you, you will laugh out loud.
Where can you see that press conference?
Vikings.com.
Okay, thank you.
All right. The Vikings traded out of their third-round pick. We'll get to that later in the show. And in the fourth round with the 121st overall pick, the Vikings selected offensive tackle Willie Beavers.
Willie fit the traits that we're looking for in an offensive lineman. I know Tony Sparano, since we hired him, gave us very specific things he's looking for. Size is a big thing with us, as long with athletic ability. But how Tony puts it, ability to dent people when you hit them. And we felt Willie definitely can do that. When you watch his tape, you watch the Ohio State and the Michigan State game, and those were probably his best two games of the year. And then we were able to spend a lot of time with him down at the Senior Bowl. I know Coach Sperano spent even more time with him when we were down at the combine, and felt and Coach Sperano felt very strongly about he's the type of offensive lineman we're trying to bring in. Now these guys are there for a reason because they're not totally polished yet, but has a lot of physical tools to work with.
And with that Rick Spielman comment, we have a new football term to use.
What's that?
Putting a dent in people.
I like it.
Me too. I don't want him to put a dent in me, so I'm not going to jump ahead of him in the cafeteria.
Yeah, bad idea.
When they arrive here on Thursday, and I'm going to stay out of his way because I don't want to be dented. But I hope that Willie Beavers dents a lot of the players that we play against this season. The work to improve the offensive line continues. The Vikings re-signed a bunch of their own offensive linemen in free agency. They went out and got Alex Boone in free agency to start at left guard. There's been talk about some players switching positions, including TJ Clemmings. Now you draft Willie Beavers in the fourth round. There's talk about him playing guard, maybe playing tackle. So that'll be interesting to see how the Vikings line him up at rookie minicamp and what the offensive line looks like throughout the offseason program. But Willie Beavers is the latest offensive lineman the Vikings have added. We go to the fifth round. Another developmental prospect, just like Willie Beavers. His name is Kentrell Brothers. He's a linebacker from Missouri.
But the one thing that you can't measure on that kid is his heart and his instincts. And I got an opportunity to see him play live when they played Mississippi State in a pouring rain on Thursday night, and this kid was all over the field making plays. And I know our college guys and our coaches really like the game tape. And then as you sit there and you evaluate the Senior Bowl tape, this kid, just every time we put the tape on him, he's making plays. And he may not be the tallest or the fastest, but he plays fast and he plays very instinctive and has a nose for the ball. So those things, there are some of the things that you can't coach that he does have.
The leading tackler in the country available in the fifth round.
Nobody had more tackles.
He literally was the player who did the best job at accumulating tackles.
And he's in the fifth round.
And we got him in the fifth round. So, and this wasn't at, you know, like, you know, Division II, you know, college you've never heard of, playing in conference you've never heard of. This is like he played in a Power 5 conference at the Division I level.
The SEC.
Right. And he was the leader in tackles. So that's cool. And he was there in the fifth round. Now, the reason I think he was there in the fifth round is because he's what you would call a two-down Mike linebacker. Plays first and second down and plays in the middle. In the 1980s, that guy would be a top 10 pick. In 2016, he's not, because a lot of teams are using spread offenses. The proliferation of the spread passing attack has caused defenses to be in sub packages more often than not, so your two-down Mike linebackers have lost value. But you still need them, and you need depth at that position, and the Vikings now have that with the selection of Kentrell Brothers in the fifth round. And I guess when you're an 11-5 team coming off a division title looking for more, you can be a team that takes developmental players as early as the fourth and fifth round, which is what the Vikings have done with Willie Beavers and Kentrell Brothers.
And it's another example of not necessarily looking to fill a need, just like with Mackenzie Alexander earlier in the draft. You take a great player at a position you already have some pretty good players at.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The depth now at linebacker looks pretty good, right? Because you have the three primary guys from last year returning, Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, and Chad Greenway. Audie Cole comes back for you. You re-sign him. He comes back from injury. You have Edmund Robinson, who's entering the second year of his career and looks to have somewhat of a promising future for your team. And you add Kentrell Brothers. You've signed two linebackers in free agency, Travis Lewis from the Lions and Emmanuel Lemur from the Bengals. I mean, the depth at linebacker, very good for the Vikings right now. Can't keep them all, but that's a good problem to have for the Vikings as they continue on the offseason program. We go to the sixth round and the story of the day on day three.
Yeah, you might have heard of this.
Moritz Boehringer. Everyone practice up on your German. Get to know the pronunciation of Moritz Boehringer because he was the Vikings pick in the sixth round. This story stole the show on day three. We asked GM Rick Spielman about it right after it happened.
We found out about him right after the combine. We have a very good source that gave us a lead on him. So we started following him. We watched his YouTube as we went through our process in the pre-draft, and then had Terrence Gray, actually one of our Southeast scouts, that went down to his workout, took him out to dinner the night before, got to talk to a lot of people about him and what he was about. We brought him up on the top 30 for the dinner and the interview, and met with myself, with Coach Zim, met with Norv Turner, just to see how much football knowledge he did have. And then we all sat there and watched his workouts. And I think he had two workouts and just was an incredible athlete that had great hands and was ability to catch the ball. Now I'll be anxious to see him when he comes in next weekend and just how far he is from behind the rest of the guys that played American football. But there's just some unique traits there that we felt was definitely worth drafting at the point we did.
For those of you who did not see it on day three of the draft, Mike Mayock basically encouraged the Vikings to take Moritz Boehringer. And the deal was, he was on the set of NFL Network explaining that his favorite player was Adrian Peterson, his favorite team was the Vikings, and the team that had showed the most interest in him was the Vikings. And so it was like a perfect story for NFL Network and for the Vikings. Mike Mayock, who described himself as having a very good relationship and being friends with Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman, looked into the camera and was like, "Guys, take my guy here, okay?" And 30 minutes later, what do you know? After a Mike Zimmer phone call, which NFL Network showed on its air, they didn't give us the audio, but they showed Mayock talking to Zimmer on the phone. About 30 minutes after that, the Vikings select Moritz Boehringer, and Mayock is celebrating on the set, and then they show a live footage of Zimmer in the Vikings draft room raising his hands up, you know, waving to Zimmer and Boehringer. I mean, it was amazing. It was like, you can't, if you didn't see it and take it in when it was happening live, I'm sorry, but we have good news. Go to Vikings.com and watch the videos up there of it, because we have it all. We have the story told in lots of different videos from Moritz himself, and in a special Meet the Pick edition that we had on Moritz Boehringer. So we got the story for it on Vikings.com. If you're not familiar with it, and if I didn't do a good job of telling it, go to the website and check those videos out.
I think you did a great job.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's do a great job on the next pick of explaining who he is. His name is David Morgan. He's a tight end, and Rick Spielman had this to say about him.
David was maybe the best run blocker in this draft. He has a very good size, worked out very well at the combine. When you watch his tape, they play, and I didn't realize that until I started watching the tape, all the big schools that they play, and he matches up against Kansas State and a lot of those other big-time schools, and he sticks out to you on the tape. He played at the East-West game and showed up at the East-West game. I think the biggest thing is we wanted to try to get a truly on-the-line Y-type blocker, but this guy can also make plays in a passing game. And we fully expect Rhett to be back and healthy and ready to go by training camp. But we think this kid has a lot of upside, too.
You know, my comment to Rick was, tight end, already a strong position for you, and you add to it in the draft. And you have Rhett Ellison coming back from a pretty severe knee injury. And so this pick might be a little bit of insurance against Rhett not being ready to go. If Rhett is ready to go, the depth at tight end gets even better. You drafted Mykole Pruitt from last year. Rhett is one of your most versatile players on your team. He's going to be back with you this year. You have Kyle Rudolph as a threat in the passing game. And and now you add, among others, you add David Morgan to the mix. So billed as one of the better blocking tight ends in this draft. Obviously, he's going to have to show that he can cut it on special teams as well if he wants to make the roster. But the tight end room also getting crowded. Round 7, the 227th pick overall in this draft for the Vikings. It was Steven Weatherly, listed as a linebacker, might play some DN for the Vikings.
Yeah, Steven Weatherly was almost played like an outside linebacker position at Vanderbilt. And I know a lot of 3-4 teams were looking at him. He has great length. He ran 4.55 at the combine on our watches, but he played a lot from a two-point stance. So Andre Patterson loved this kid because he thought he can be a potential pass rusher out of a 43 defense. So we had him up here on the top 30, got an opportunity to meet and get to know him a little bit. And Andre Patterson went back to 2013 tape, his freshman year, and cut up 65 plays when he was playing defensive end. So we felt that they needs to get a little stronger, but he has the athletic tool set to develop into a potential pass rusher.
I'm going to look at this as kind of a reward for Andre Patterson and Robert Rodriguez, who are the Vikings defensive line coaches, a reward for their work last year with Danielle Hunter. Last year in the third round, the Vikings took a defensive end from LSU that no one had heard of, was extremely raw but super athletic, and it was Danielle Hunter. And he was slow to go at first, but he came on strong and finished with 6 sacks on the season. The Vikings scouting department loved the Vikings coaching staff's work on that so much that they took another raw pass rushing prospect in Stephen Weatherly, and they'll give him to those defensive line coaches to see if they can work some magic once again. Speaking of coaches working magic, that's what the Vikings hope is going to happen with the last pick for the Vikings in the draft. In the seventh round, the 244th overall selection, it was Clemson safety Jayron Kearse.
He is that was like Zim likes big guys. He's extremely long for the position. Played very well early in the season, had some inconsistencies as you watch later tape on him. But he's almost 6'4", 6'5", free safety that has range and length down the field. And, Jerry Gray, when he went down and worked out Alexander, Mac, as he likes to be called, we worked out both those safeties down there as long with the rest of their defensive players, because they had a great defense down there this year. And excited to see when we get Mr. Kearse up here and what he can do.
Okay, big time size for the position, 6'4". 216 pounds. For comparison's sake, when you think of, Nate, when you think of big for the position safeties in the NFL, you think of?
Cam Chancellor. Yes. I definitely don't think it's too early to compare the two of those guys.
And Jayron very much appreciates that comment. Mike Zimmer does not. Yes, Cam Chancellor, 6'3", 232. Jayron Kearse, 6'4". But 216. So let's not get too excited. Jayron's got to put another 16 pounds of muscle on that frame before he's going to look like Cam Chancellor, and he's got to play really well before he plays like Cam Chancellor. But think that type of player when you think of Jayron Kearse, a big safety for Mike Zimmer to put in his scheme, the second player from a Clemson defense for the Vikings that's been very good the past 2 years and has pumped out a bunch of NFL players. The Vikings take Mackenzie Alexander out of Clemson in the second round. They take Jayron Kearse in the seventh round. Other players to enter the NFL coming from Clemson's defense in the past couple of years: Stephon Anthony, a linebacker, to the Saints early in the draft last year. First round pick this year, Shaq Lawson, a defensive end. Second round pick this year, Kevin Dodd, a defensive end. And of course, Mackenzie Alexander and Jayron Kearse. So bravo to that Clemson defense. Been very good the past 2 years, and the Vikings get two of the better players from that defense in this year's draft.
So let's jump back to the third round. You said you would talk more about what happened to that pick.
Yeah, the Vikings traded out. They were on the clock in the third round. They traded out. The Miami Dolphins came up, and they grabbed wide receiver Leonte Carew from Rutgers. The Vikings moved out, and they didn't just move back to later in the third round or back to the fourth round. The Vikings moved all the way back to the sixth round with the Miami Dolphins. Now, to move up that far, the Dolphins gave the Vikings a third and fourth round pick next year. I love this. As I said with the Mackenzie Alexander selection, this is the Vikings brass thinking big picture. They know that they've got a solid team. They know they've re-signed 13 of their own free agents and were active on the free agent market, signing guys like Michael Griffin and Alex Boone to come in and Andre Smith to all come in and potentially start. So not a ton of roster spots are going to be open. The Vikings know that coming away from the draft with 12 picks might not be the best practice this year. So what do? They trade a valuable pick this year, but get two valuable picks next year and still got a sixth-round pick this year, which they used to take Moritz Boehringer. So they got a splash in the sixth round with this trade, and then they get two picks next year. I love the big picture thinking. It sets the Vikings up to be more flexible in next year's draft, because now we can use those two picks in the third and the fourth round to move from late first round to mid or early first round, to upgrade the second-round pick to a first-round pick next year, or to do any other variety of things that you can do with an extra third and an extra fourth-round pick. So I loved what the Vikings did, trading out of the third round and picking up two valuable picks.
Do you think this kind of shows a little bit of a different mindset now when it comes to building this team? You know, we have obviously a playoff roster from last year, sign a handful of fairly big-name free agents to fill some needs.
Yeah.
Spielman always wanted to have 10 picks in a draft.
Yeah.
And now he came away with certainly less than that now. Do you see that kind of shifting that direction now if the roster stays kind of the same as it is?
This year for sure. And this was probably the first time in a while where the Vikings were looking at the draft and they're like, you know, we don't need to find players who are going to be key to us winning a bunch of games this year. Now, Laquon Treadwell, maybe the exception there. He can help you win some games. right away. But a lot of these other picks, including the second round pick, might not be guys who are major contributors in 2016. I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope Mackenzie Alexander jumps up and you can't help but put him on the field. Or Willie Beavers just shocks us with how good he's playing at guard or tackle.
He's just denting guys.
Just denting people everywhere. You know, and Tony Sperano is just like, yes, keep denting people. And I hope that happens. But, I mean, the Vikings didn't have to do that this year. You know, I look at a team like the Cleveland Browns, and I know that they're the butt of a lot of jokes, but they're in a position right now where they literally have to like start over, and that's why Sashi Brown and that Browns front office did what they did. They traded back a few times. They accumulated a bunch of picks. All those guys are going to make the team probably and play, you know, because they're kind of starting over. The Vikings are at the opposite end of that spectrum. They were looking for a plug and play guy in the first round. Other than that, it's like if we take a guy who's plug and play in the second round or beyond, that is gravy. But we're really looking for guys who are going to, we can plug in there, we can develop them, and they can help us down the road. So it's a great position to be in. You're not in that position every year, but when you are, you really got to take advantage of it. And I think the Vikings did that by selecting Mackenzie Alexander and by trading out of the third round. Okay, when the draft is over, what do? You get on the phone. Your scouts and coaches and your GM, and they get on the phone and they start calling guys who weren't drafted, see if they can sign them to some contracts. The Vikings did that. You can find that list of players on Vikings.com. You can also find a story I wrote called Undrafted But Not Undeserving. It is about some of the best players in Vikings history who went undrafted, including John Randall and Mick Tingelhoff, both Hall of Famers. It's also about current Vikings who are key contributors who went undrafted, Marcus Sherrills and Adam Thielen. And then I also throw in a couple of current and former NFL stars who went undrafted but were really good players, Tony Romo, Kurt Warner, James Harrison, just to name a few. Anyway, one noteworthy undrafted free agent signing, a guy I can't wait to watch this weekend at the Vikings rookie minicamp, running back Jarrell Presley. Here's why I can't wait to watch him. Ran a 4.3 40, so he's got some speed. Hoisted up the 225-pound bench press 25 times. Very Nate Vaughn-like. So he's got some strength. And he has some production to boot. 1,900 yards rushing and 23 touchdowns in his last two seasons. So a nice combination of profile, production, and overall ability for an undrafted running back. So I'm kind of excited to watch him work out for the Vikings this weekend. All right. We haven't done this in a while, but we've done it today. We've got some fan mail. We're going to wrap up this edition of the Wobcast with some of your mail. Questions from you, answers from us. We're going to start it out with Ben from Shakopee. Read the question, Nate.
Ben says he's happy with the way the Vikings draft panned out, especially the way they set themselves up for next year with the Miami trade, as you mentioned earlier.
We just talked about it, yeah.
The only complaint I had, he says, which is just nitpicking, is they did not make an effort to get a higher caliber safety. He really liked Von Bell and Miles Killebrew. He's not sold on Jayron Kearse. Ben admits he's probably wrong and that the Vikings know football way better than he does. But he wants to know, is he wrong for thinking that way?
I don't think he's wrong for thinking this way. Ben from Shakopee emails me regularly. So he and I go back and forth on a lot of stuff. This is a very typical Ben email, and I love getting stuff from him because he's got a lot of good ideas and he thinks outside the box. I don't think he's wrong in thinking this way, but the Vikings just didn't think the same way. And if you look at what the Vikings did at safety this offseason, you know, everyone was like, they need a starter next to Harrison Smith. And Mike Zimmer basically said as much. He's like, you know, we're looking for a guy who's an all-around safety so that we can better use Harrison. And the Vikings did not go out and do that in the first round. You know, they got a wide receiver in Laquon Treadwell that they can basically, they're going to be playing him from day one, I would guess. They didn't do that at safety. They didn't go get Von Bell. They didn't get Jalen Ramsey, who you could plug in at safety if you wanted to. So, but what they did do was they addressed the position in other ways. They re-signed Andrew Sandejo, who I know is not going to excite a bunch of Vikings fans, but let's remember, he started 13 games last year. We were 11-5, and we had the number 5 scoring defense in the league. So, I mean, you know, how bad can it be? Andrew Sandejo is a solid player, and if nothing else, you know you have a special team stud and a very capable backup in Andrew Sandejo. So they re-signed Sandejo. They also have Anton Exum, a draft pick from a couple years ago, and Anthony Harris, an undrafted rookie from last year who has stuck around. If you're an undrafted rookie and you stick around for 2 years, it means you have at least a little bit of ability. So you got those three guys built in coming back. You also have Michael Griffin, who has been a long-term starter for the Tennessee Titans, a former first-round pick from 2007, the same year Adrian was drafted, a guy who's been starting for Tennessee and a guy who knows Vikings defensive backs coach Jerry Gray very well, a guy who's going to know this system and be able to learn it quickly. So you also have him, and now you have a seventh-round pick, a guy that you can organically bring through your program, a guy who is going to learn Mike Zimmer's defense from Mike Zimmer. So the Vikings addressed this position in a lot of different ways. It was not with a plug-and-play youngster, but it was through a lot of other ways, including built-in guys from years past, a brand-new free agent with starting experience, and a developmental project and a seventh-round pick. So maybe not the way you'd like to address. Some people would have liked to have seen it addressed, but you can't fix every problem in the first round. You can only address one thing in the first round, unless it's 2013 and you have three first-round picks, or 2014 and you have two first-round picks, or 2017 where the Vikings might have two first-round picks. That wasn't the case this year. So I think they did a pretty good job of addressing the safety spot, and we'll see what happens as the competition plays itself out.
All right, Nick from Lansing, Michigan,
yep,
draws a few parallels, or at least one parallel, okay, between Mackenzie Alexander and Danielle Hunter.
Hmm.
He says, given the lack of interceptions in college, do you see Mac Alexander having an immediate impact this year like Danielle did last year? Danielle didn't have many sacks in college.
Right.
And Mac had zero interceptions in college.
So I see the comparison there. Makes some sense. Where it's different, though, is in the Pro Football Focus stats that we talked about earlier, where Alexander was actually being very productive. He didn't allow his man to catch more than four passes in a game all season in 2015. He hasn't given up a touchdown pass in 21 games. And Mike Zimmer's big thing is always, I want cornerbacks who aren't going to let their guy catch the ball. He doesn't say, I want corners who are going to have seven picks in a year. He wants guys who aren't going to let their guy catch the ball. Mackenzie Alexander was the number one cornerback in the class this year at doing that. Only 33% of the passes that went Alexander's way were caught by the receivers. So that's the difference. But I get what Nick is saying. He's saying maybe Alexander won't come out and boom, jump out and produce right away. But maybe as the season goes on, he'll get more and more comfortable and start producing, which is what Danielle Hunter did. Getting six sacks on the season and getting most of them at the end of the year. That would not surprise me if that happened, because as the season goes on, guys get tired, guys get hurt. It happened in the Vikings secondary last year. It would not surprise me if Mac Alexander is thrust into action, very similarly to how Trey Waynes was thrust into action late last year.
And had an interception in the playoff game.
Yeah, of Russell Wilson. So how's it going?
Yeah, going okay.
Okay.
All right, and Tom Gleason from New Jersey. Tom wants to know, with the third and fourth round picks that we acquired for next year's draft, will we try and trade up to get two first round picks next year? Something you've kind of hinted at a couple times now.
I think, yes, we will try to trade up, but I don't know for sure if it'll be into the first round from the second round, from late first round to early first round, or from late second round to way early second round. It could be any of those things. So, for example, if let's just say for conversation's sake, let's say the Vikings get a little bit better. They win the division, win a playoff game, and lose in the divisional round. Let's say that happens, and they're picking 27th next year. The Vikings could take that third and fourth round pick, and they might even have to use their second round pick or their original third round pick, and turn the 27th pick into the ninth pick and get a guy, you know, in the top 10. You could also use that third round pick and combine it with your current second-round pick and move up into the top 10 of the second round. You could use the second and two-thirds and get back into the first round for an additional first-round pick and have two first-round picks. So there's lots of different ways you could go here. I would say right now, if I had to guess, yes, the Vikings will trade up in next year's draft. I just don't know from where and to where, but in some form or fashion, they probably will. Which just displays them thinking big picture by trading out of the third round this year.
Big picture of this Wobcast, we're done.
It's over.
It's done.
Okay. But next week we have maybe a couple Wobcasts coming, because I have an idea.
Okay.
We are going to have watched rookie minicamp, so we're going to have lots of hot takes on how our rookies have performed. And so what I think we should do is split it up into offense and defense and get the Vikings Entertainment Network's crew of writers in here to start giving us opinions on guys. We'll split it up into offense and defense. A couple of them will tell us about the offensive guys. A couple of them will tell us about the defensive guys. We'll break down the rookie mini camp using our Vikings.com writers. We'll do that on the Wobcast next week with a couple of Wobcasts. Are you up for that workload?
Sounds good.
I just sprung it on you without really even telling you about
it. I'll just sit there and listen to it.
Okay. Well, we need you to put it together too.
Oh, okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah, do that? I guess I can do that too.
Producers produce.
That's right.
Okay.
From beginning to end.
Right. And that's what you'll do. So that's it for this edition of the Wobcast. We thank everyone for listening. We thank Nate Vaughn for producing it. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We're going to be back next week twice. Two Wobcasts coming next week as we break down the Vikings rookie minicamp, which begins on Friday and ends on Sunday. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week. So